Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us on the Content Cullet today. We have a fantastic guest today is Dr. Philip Zimmerman, who is basically, he is a millennial expert. He has written a book called Unleash the Millennials and Save the World. And as a boomer himself, it's very interesting for millennials like myself and Kayla to hear him talk about being on our side and how you can engage millennials. So we had a fascinating conversation about motivations, journeys, information, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Phil, thank you so much for joining us on the Content Cullet today.
Thank you, Amanda. It's great to be with you and Kayla. Thank you.
I am loving your backdrop, Unleash the Millennials and Save the World. It is such a great title, and that is the title of your book.
That's correct. The millennial generation is very unique. Probably, I estimate my book, maybe 1,000 years since a generation like the millennials have come along. And so millennial generation is going to do some pretty phenomenal things. Z generation coming after them is just going to add right on top of it.
So tell us, why the focus on millennials in your journey? Why this book?
I was in a professional engineering and executive leadership for 20 years and owned my own company, sold it, and worked as a CEO, a COO and a CFO of 8-figure companies. They were doing very well and just had a life-changing experience and started teaching high school students. And it was while teaching high school students, recognized something was different about them in regards to some of their values that they had in regard to how they're living their life. Developed Institute of Leadership at the school where I was working. And part of that journey to develop that institute, I entered into a doctorate program, organizational leadership doctorate program, and did background research on who millennials were just in the literature. And I was shocked by what I saw because it was very disparaging, very negative toward millennials entering the workplace. And I knew who I was teaching, that they were not far from what I was reading in the literature. And so I tried to figure out why they were like they are. And the differences were so foundational. I believe it's 1,000 years since there's been a generation like the millennials. It's a global millennial generation. And they're going to do some pretty phenomenal things. And really, in the next 10 to 15 years, are going to blow everybody away.
So what is it about the millennials that you think is so special?
Two big shifts occurred while millennials were being raised, starting in the 1980s. The first shift was a philosophical shift, or how we view truth and justice. Those two items are philosophical ideas. We had been living under something called Western philosophy for 2,600 years, since the 6th century BC. And that all ended after World War II. The seat of Western philosophy was decimated in France and in Germany after World War II. And so we lost that philosophical base as its culture and society, Western society. We entered into this what's called the postmodern age and filtered its way into the United States in the early 1960s. But by 1980, we were fully postmodern in what we thought difference between a modern, which would have been a Western philosophy, a modern philosophy, and a postmodern or aftermodern philosophy, is that moderns, like myself, a boomer, believed that there is a right way to live. This is the easiest way to put it. There is a right way to live. Millennials were totally raised in a culture and a society in every media that they ever listened to that there is no wrong way to live. Those are opposites, totally opposite. That's the big one. That's one thing. The other one was we also had a shift. Our business model shifted. We went from an industrial age business model, which was 400 years in the making. The United States was very good at this in regards to capitalism and making things with machines and stuff, to an information technology. Now it's this connected age technology with the internet. Everything's global, and that affected our economy, economics, how we do trade and do business, our technology, how we interface with pen and paper now to cell phone and supercomputers, and our educational system, how we teach students to learn. And because of those three things, the business model changed. The millennials were educated to occupy, this is absolutely fascinating. They were educated in a way to occupy jobs that had not yet been in. This is significant. The mindset of a person who is trained to occupy a job that hasn't been invented. This has been around for probably 1,000 years. If you think about the changes, dramatic changes in society and culture and business, what would be so significant that the jobs of the people that you're trying to educate haven't even been invented? When was the last time that happened? And so as a result of that, that's why they're different. And that's why they handle situations different. So I just got super excited about it. And I said, the things that are coming are going to be unbelievable that this generation is going to do. And so I've gone into helping so I left the educational arena and entered into a coaching arena to try to help business executives that I knew in my area to try to prepare their millennial talent for what was coming. And there's still a lot of hesitancy out there, boomers, allowing them to do that. That's why I wrote the book, Unleash the Millennials and Save the World, to help them understand what's going on.
So I wouldn't call you this. You have called yourself a boomer. But
yeah,
why?
Oh, I am.
Yes. Well, I think like that's the difference too. Like you said, when you were reading about it, I think there's that terminology about millennials and how you like the flip is you have saved the world. And some people think millennials have ruined the world because like you kind of said, like in a different generation, it was very much, you know, you got married, you had kids, you bought the house, you got the car, but you lived this specific lifestyle. Whereas millennials are very like, do I need to buy the house? Do I need to buy the car? Or should I do this? Or should I do that? Like you said, it's a very different way of thinking between here's XYZ to live the perfect life.
Right.
And
right.
There is no XYZ. You can write your own manual. Do you think that's a core of why there's so much disparaging remarks between the boomers towards the millennials? Because they don't follow the formula.
If people would go back and replay what you just said, they would get the total idea. And that has to do with, you said in a different way of what I said, that there is a right way to live. That's how boomers were raised and a lot of Xers. And there is no wrong way to live. That's how millennials were raised and a lot of Xers, because Xers fall in between. When there is a right way to live, when there's this idea of a right way to live, well, then there's a right way to have a job. Again, there's a formula. It's just like you said, you go to school, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, you buy a house, you buy a car, you work your butt off till you retire. And then who knows what happens after that? Where your generation was not, if there's no wrong way to live, right, then there really is no wrong path to go down. Now, this is what, for me, where there is a great opportunity for, and this is why I say the millennial generation is different than any other generation in 1,000 years, because no generation, if you went back and you started studying generations, no generation has had what the millennials have, an opportunity that they have to create their own future. Because they're not going in a mindset that has already been set in stone what their future is going to be. And every generation up until the millennial generation has had that as the, that there's a right way to live. This is the way you have to go. And your generation has not been raised on that. Now, there's a danger in that also, which I address in the book, in that it can also go, it can go in two different directions. It can go really great or it can go really bad. Yeah, that has to do with this idea of what is truth and what is justice. And so that's something that I have in my book that I strongly suggest that business leaders today start to instill within their millennial talent, just the idea ideas of truth and justice. They don't have to tell them what that truth is, although they can use their core values to do that. But they have to be able to start having a conversation that there is a truth, right, that we can all live by. And there is such a thing as justice. And to define that moving forward, we end well so that the whatever they create is very good for the humanity as a whole, globally, not just the United States.
So the thing that I find really ironic about what you're saying about millennials being raised to think freely, I'm a millennial, and part of the reason that I began to think that way was actually from books that I read that were written long before I was born. I was exposed to a lot of literature when I was young, like Jack Kerouac and things like that on the road, and they were all living differently. So was there a generation before the boomer generation that planted some of those ideas and seeds that we perhaps grew up on?
This is going to turn back to philosophy a bit. It has to do with meaning, purpose, and calling. What is the meaning of life, really? What is the meaning of my life? What is the meaning of your life? What is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of your life? And what is the calling that you have in your life to do something? For about the last 1,000 years, and actually before, more than that, back into the 6th century BC, there was a overarching idea that gods existed, as in the Greek gods or Roman gods or pantheon. And then in a Christian sense, once Christianity took over as a foundational philosophy within theology, and this idea that the single God, the God of the Judeo-Christian God existed, there was a manner of life that was dictated by an outside source. The writings that have been most significantly impactful for this idea of, that there is no wrong way to live were written by atheists, typically atheists or nihilists, which is to the extreme of atheism, or agnostics, but they tend more, again, tending toward atheism, and that there is no life after death. I mean, you live, you die, and that's it. And so you have to be able to find your meaning and your purpose in this life alone. And there's not some transcendent gods out there watching us. And as a result of that, those writings really started to perpetuate within the writing community after the Renaissance period, really, when they started in the 1600s and 1700s, that the church had such a tight grip on thought. But anybody's thought, the church had a very tight grip on it. And if you talked about atheism or agnostic, some other gods other than the Judeo-Christian God, you were persecuted for that. When Luther nailed his 99 theses to the door at Wittenberg, he released human thought from the church. That's kind of how it happened. It took a while for that to happen. But once that happened, once the door was opened toward free thought, then man was able to explore beyond what they would consider to be, in their minds, ancient philosophies, or there is really is no God because we're an atheist. And so they're just believing in myths and that kind of stuff. And so they would write that. Once you rid yourself of this idea that God is a myth, and I don't believe that. I believe that God does exist. But if you believe that God is a myth and there is no life after death, and you try to explain meaning and purpose of life, that's where you get into some really just difficult to answer those questions. And that's why the millennials have a blank slate. It's just so unique because, yes, people have written about those things in the past, but they haven't been a majority part of the population. They haven't had the ability to be such an influence on the population as we have today. Absolutely fascinating.
So I want to go back to something that you said before. And you said your impression of millennials was that it was not what you were reading. And I think that millennials get branded as being lazy or wanting an easy way.
Yeah, yeah.
But I completely disagree. I think that all millennials do want to be successful. They do want to contribute. Yeah. It's just, as you said before, a lot of the jobs that we have didn't exist. So you've been successful. You've done a lot of really great things, and you coach people and teach people how to be successful. How do you teach a millennial to excel and be successful at a job that maybe didn't exist before?
Part of how this all came about, I'll give you a real quick version of it, was when the computers came into the classroom and then came into the business and then into the classroom, teachers were having to make a decision of what do you teach a first grader? Because it's all done in a rubric, first grade through 12th grade, and then graduate school or college, and then graduate school after that. And every year you're learning what you learned last year, and so that you can eventually occupy a job. Well, when they were trying to figure out what are the jobs going to be that these computers are going to create our students who are going to graduate in 16 years, how do we educate them for that? And by 2008, it became totally obvious that the jobs that were going to be available and created had not even been invented yet. And that's really what from an educational perspective, they started teaching students how to ask questions. And they started teaching them to ask two questions. First question is, why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you working on that? So typically, if I talk to boomers, I'll say, when was the last time a brand new millennial you just hired, I mean, like 3 weeks ago, walks into your office and says, what are you working on? And you tell them what you're working on. Then they'll ask you, why? Why are you working on that? And the boomer will get really frustrated because this is what I'm working on. And I'm telling you to go work on the same thing. And they're going to go, why? They know why. Millennials and boomers want the exact same things. I did a big survey when I did a doctoral dissertation on millennials in the workplace. Boomers and Xers and millennials, we all want the same things. So there's no difference there. But the difference is the millennials want to know why they're doing what they're doing. The reason why they want to know why they're doing what they're doing is because they want to know the very foundational reasons why something is done. So I'll say, okay, so you're working on a permit, an example. And so you tell the boomer, the millennial, okay, well, I'm working on this permit. Well, why are you working on the permit? Well, our client has asked us to work on this permit because they have to submit it for state and federal reasons. Well, why are they doing that for state and federal reasons? Well, because they passed a law in 1963, the Clean Water Act, that says that you have to have clean water. And these are the standards that are available that we have to work with. Why did they pass the Clean Water Act? This is a question some millennials are asking. Why did they pass the Clean Water Act? And the boomer's going to say, well, I don't really know. I guess the water was polluted. Well, why was the water polluted? Well, I don't know. I wasn't back there in 1963 thinking about those things. The next question they'll ask you is, well, how are you doing what you're doing? Now that they know why you're doing it, it's because the Clean Water Act was passed in 1963 for something that was going on in 1963. How are you doing this? And so then you explain to them, well, I'm using an Excel program. It's got some fields in it to fill out. You've been trained to do this, even though you may not even think about it. When you start thinking about the next thing you're doing, you're going to see that you're actually thinking this way. Is that the millennial is going to start thinking of two things. One, how can they do something that is different than what you're currently doing using technology that you don't even know exists? The boomer doesn't even know exists, but the millennials are using it all the time. Using a currently available technology or the development of a technology that will actually solve the original issue that was dealt with in 1963 in 2021. And what they may discover is that in 2021, the issues that was the Clean Water Act was passed for in 1963 are not even applicable anymore. In fact, they're different because of changes in a lot of stuff has happened in 60 years or 70 years. And they can actually come up with a different way to address the same thing that the Clean Water Act has in a different way that totally maybe even eliminates the whole business that they're doing, that eliminates the whole permitting. And so this is that idea of, because you were trained to occupy a job that hasn't been invented. you addressed it correct when you said that you entered into work that you weren't really prepared for. That is absolutely right. The industrial age workforce that many millennials entered into when they came out of college or out of high school, they were not prepared to work in an industrial age workforce where they were told to go sit here, do this, in this chair. They weren't trained to do that. They were trained to think about what it is that they're trying to accomplish, invent some way to accomplish it faster with technology, and then implement that. So I would say from a millennial perspective, as you're entering into the workplace, is to get those two questions answered. Don't let the boomer just blow you off and say, hey, well, because I'm telling you to do it. That's why boomers thought that millennials were entitled or lazy. It's because they would come into the office and they would say, hey, I'm ready for work. What would you like me to do? Well, you got to go sit in this desk and you need to read these four documents to kind of get prepared for the job. And then I want you to work on this particular project. And the first question the millennial would say was, why are you doing that? And the boomer would just freak out because I told you so. I told you so. That's your job.
I was going to say, it sounds like parenting, right? You've got a kid on your side going, but why? But why? Yeah. But why? Yeah. That's what it sounded like. Because I said so. Okay.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why there was all this stuff in the literature. But when you come to understand that the millennials are, and I'm assuming that you're both millennials are the most educated generation in human history. When that hits you, you're going to think, oh, that doesn't make any sense. We're not the most. You are the most educated generation globally in the history of our planet. If you think about when you went to school, which was just a few years ago, that you had to, all the courses that you had to, if you had to take any kind of advanced placement courses, the difficulty of getting into college, courses that you took and to maintain your college grades and the difficulty of applying for a job, that is so much greater than anything any population has ever experienced in the history of mankind. When I was going to school, I'll just give an example. When I was going to high school, junior high, high school, I studied, but I didn't have to study. I met a lot of my friends never studied. When I went to college, I studied. I had a lot of friends who'd never studied. You passed. It was not like it was hard. They were glad that you were there and they didn't want to flunk you out, unless you wanted to get flunked out, but they didn't want to flunk you out because they didn't want to lose the students. The competition for the college classroom chair is so intense with not just domestic people trying to get in those chairs, but international students trying to come into our country to learn in the United States, get that advanced education here in the United States, really ramps up what students need to know. So y'all are pumped for the future. It's unbelievable.
Well, in our
that's why I just say you got to unleash you. Just unleash you. Let you do what you're going to do.
Well, like thinking back to, because this is a marketing podcast, just thinking about it too, is like thinking about millennials and shifting your focus to advertising for them, for example, because we millennials technically are in the generation of, we would be at like the higher buying power of being in our like late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s. So we would technically be the ones who have been in the workforce for a little bit longer and have more buying power. So if we're looking at motivations or ways to reach millennials, going through your book, you definitely have a bunch of different ways on motivating millennials and looking at that kind of thing on what motivates them. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I think that from a perspective of marketing to a millennial is to whatever it is you're marketing or you're selling, is it provides meaning to their life. It adds to their purpose in life and it agrees with their calling, or whether that be a vocational calling or a life calling in some way. That's really what's driving millennials, is this search. The boomers and a lot of the Xers, we never had to go on that search of life, meaning, purpose, and calling. Why? Because that was already dictated to us. Our life meaning was, you got up, you went, you got, like we just described earlier, get the job, go to college, get to buy that. That was kind of meaning. There was no purpose. I'll tell you my age, I'm 63, and I can honestly say that until about maybe 10 years ago, I never even heard of the word purpose, that I'm supposed to have a purpose in my life. Your generation was raised that you have a purpose and you need to discover what that purpose is. And a vocational calling, I'm very familiar with that term. But because of that, from a marketing perspective, and especially if it's being done by boomers, the millennials are really looking for something that will add meaning to their life and provide something within regard to their purpose. And again, the vocational personal calling. It is not, and it typically involves technology. If you look at the people who are doing really well, technology is a big part of it.
Well, definitely, because it was unknown frontier. So it was kind of anyone's for the taking if you could figure out what you wanted to do and how you wanted to do it and be the first. It was a real opportunity for the the millennial generation. So one of the things that you talk about is aligning your goals and dreams, which tying back into the conversation about if we were going to market towards millennials, we would want to target their purpose. So as a millennial, though, I feel like we have a lot of goals and dreams and purposes, and that's where the side hustle comes in. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the side hustle. If you never heard the word purpose until 10 years ago, as a boomer, I assume you never had a side hustle either.
No, the idea of a side hustle, not really a 5 on the Enneagram scale, if that means anything to you, but my personality, I'm an entrepreneur, I like to do a lot of different things. And so this idea of a side hustle has been life existence in a lot of ways. But in regards to marketing, I'm not really sure how that would impact in a marketing for millennials itself.
I think we have a lot of things that we would respond to.
Oh, yeah. Definitely would agree with that.
And I mean, bringing it one step further, the way that you are kind of wowed by the millennials, I'm sort of feeling the same way about Gen Z. As they're coming up behind me, I'm like, holy cow. Oh. These kids were born with a computer in their hand. They can do so much more than me. They have even more, I feel. They're even more aligned to purpose and really wanting something to mean something. So how do you think we market towards them? Is it as similar as the millennials, or do we really hone in on things that have a purpose?
I think I like to talk about the future, and part of that marketing toward the future. There has been a lot of things hidden for about the last 200 years by the academia, by the scientific community, of discoveries that they've made in the last 200 years. That I think in this idea of marketing of information is the uncovering and the acknowledgement of what has been known for a long time. Is that your generation, millennials and the Gen Z, are going to take it and they're going to rip it, going to rip a lot of stuff we've done in the past just totally apart. Textbooks are going to have to be ripped too. College courses, high school courses are going to be rewritten because the word is, the truth is getting out slowly. The scientific evidence is there, but the academy won't let it out. And the academy being the universities and stuff won't let it out. But your generation is going to reveal it. And I think that's why I firmly believe that your generation was providentially placed here on the earth to handle when the unveiling comes forth, because boomers, we wouldn't be able to handle it. And a lot of extras wouldn't be able to handle the truth. They have a line in the movie that says, you can't handle
the truth.
You can't handle the truth. In a lot of ways, the boomers couldn't handle it. But I think that your generation, Gen Z, are going to be able to handle the truth and do something with it. Those truthers, like the idea of zero point energy or free energy. It's been anti-gravity. That stuff's been around for a long time. The research into those areas have been going on for a long time, and they've made some tremendous progress in those areas, but you don't hear about it. All the stuff in genetic information, we are not an evolved species. Now, as much as the Darwinian evolutionists would like to talk to us about being an evolved species, or we evolved from something, they know that the genetic code is so complex. There's a language built in each of our cells that has the building block instructions. I'm an engineer by degree and profession. It actually has the building block instructions for how to make cells that will make tiny machines that will then do stuff in the cell. I'm talking about in the cell itself, not just in the body, in the cell, in the nucleus of a cell. Unbelievable stuff. They know that that didn't evolve. That didn't just happen. Somebody put that there. There is a language there that they can't explain. And so once your generation is able to rip that Band-Aid off and say, okay, what is this genetic information telling us about what it really means to be human? There is going to be a lot of stuff changed. Cosmology is the same thing within areas of cosmology, particle physics. There's just so many things. Oh my gosh, so many things. Anyway.
Well, no, globally, like a lot of things are changing globally, right? Like, especially when you talk about like some of the things you talked about, cryptocurrency, AI, genetics, hyperdimensions, these are things that are barreling down on us. I did want to go back to something I was thinking about, though, when Kayla mentioned Gen Z. You yourself became a millionaire at the age of 32, which in anyone's book is a huge success. Congratulations, right? Especially debt-free millionaire. Like, what's that? That's amazing.
It's a burden, I can tell you.
But having said that, there are also 16-year-olds, 14-year-olds now who, from social media like TikTok and influencers, who are now becoming millionaires at like the age of 16. Yeah. So when you talk about rapidly aligning, developing, and advancing along a career path, how do you coach somebody who is starting a career path at the age of 14 that is a real career path? I mean, at the age of 14, I was working, but I was working as a retail worker or babysitting, not exactly a career path for myself. Whereas now you're talking to people who are they're hundreds of thousands of dollars richer than I ever was at the age of 14. And how do you align them to develop a career path then from such a young age?
That's a great question. The things that you learned babysitting, working retail, you know, I worked in the National Shirt Shop in a mall when I was 14 to 15 years old and did that. I cleaned businesses and did that when I was 14 or 15 years old. You learn stuff there doing that. You learn responsibility. You learn how to handle money. You learn how to work with coworkers and within an organization. So the things that you did, while they may not necessarily have eventually led to the career path that you had, they developed your personality and your ability to communicate with others individuals and to have personal responsibility. The issue with money when you have a 14-year-old or 16-year-old who is on TikTok or on Facebook or some other social media platform, Instagram, and they get this great following, and then for initially it's just fun, just having fun, and then suddenly people are starting to pay them to have all this fun. And it's not just getting paid. They're making a lot of money having all this fun. To be honest with you, it will really mess up your, it can really mess up your life, because then you have enough money that you can do what you want to do, but you don't have to do anything. And then when you're trying to discover what is it you really want to do when you really don't have to do anything, that becomes very difficult. That's why you see a lot of people who have a lot of money and who have lost their way in life, turn to drugs, alcohol, you know, other things to try to cause, numb this loneliness that they feel, or this insecurity that they feel. In their minds, after you're 20 years old, you kind of lost that 16-year-old Instagram feel for the 16-year-olds, right? Because you're 20 now and you're kind of aged out. So what are you going to do now? And so in this idea of alignment, what I just say is wherever you find yourself, go with whatever your natural flow is, whatever your natural personality type is. Try to find an opportunity that allows that to flourish to the best of your ability. There's lots of jobs for lots of different people with lots of different personality types. And you can actually occupy any particular job. I mean, anybody can do pretty much any job, but you won't necessarily enjoy any job. You'll enjoy the jobs that are aligned with your natural preferences. And then development, once you identify what your natural preferences are, and then you find a job that kind of meets those, then you go get that job and then you start to develop. So that if you find yourself engaged in your work, that's where development comes from. Once you become engaged in your work, you really like doing what you're doing and you're engaged in it so that you can't believe it's 5 o'clock already or 6 o'clock already because you went to work at 7 o'clock this morning and it just like the day just start. You're engaged in your work. When you're engaged in your work, you develop. When you start to be productive in your work, not just knowing what you're doing, but knowing why you're doing what you're doing and how to do it better, that's where you really get productivity involved. That's where you really find meaning in life, because then you'll discover that you're not just engaged doing something that you want to do and that you're aligned to do, but you're now actually producing something and that's giving you meaning. You're valuable to the company or you're valuable for the clients that you're serving. And so your life has meaning because your clients need you to provide whatever it is that you're providing or the skill set that you have. And then as you do that for long enough, then you're over time, this idea of loyalty toward that particular career field or that particular vocation doesn't necessarily have to be with the same employer, but that particular vocation and career field, you will discover if you maintain it long enough that that really is your calling in life. You are really good at that. You can do a lot of other things and you may be able to do them well, but you're not going to find the satisfaction that you find other than in those areas where you have spent a long period of time honing those skills.
I mean, to your and Amanda's point, a lot of money can be dangerous at a young age. I kind of, with what you guys were just talking about, it kind of reminds me of the child star. Like mm-hmm. If we look at the child actors and how many of them from my childhood are sadly kind of messed up now, I think having a lot of money at a young age can kind of position you for that. What you're talking about, Philip, is the idea that money can also give you freedom. It can give you freedom to explore and align your goals and really find vocation, what you're doing. And my prediction, I think that we are going to see a lot more of that with these young people that have made fortunes. I think it'll probably go 50-50. Unfortunately, some of them might go the child actor way. Yeah, and some of them hopefully are going to go on to do really great and amazing things that do align with what they did. Sure, they won't be unboxing on YouTube forever, unboxing toys as an 8-year-old, but who knows what that leads to. And I think it's kind of fun to think about what might come next for someone that.
In addition to the working to get the money, there's going to be the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of mankind to the millennial generation over the next 15 years.
Yes.
As the boomer parents and the senior parents die and grandparents die, all that money's coming to the millennials. You have a lot of rich 20-year-olds.
It's money and information. And that's the other thing I was going to ask you about when you were talking about all this information that's been shrouded in secrecy for years. That is one of the things that does give our generation a little bit more freedom is free-flowing information. So, you know, you said you think boomers can't handle that. But if you guys had the free-flowing information that I grew up with, do you think it would be different now?
What I can say is millennials, Xers, and boomers all want the same thing. We think a lot alike, but the why we're thinking what we're thinking is different. What we do with that information is different. Because we were never given that opportunity to look at those things that are now being revealed, we've always been curious about it. I mean, the idea of where the pyramids come from, that'll blow you away if you just think about it for a second. There's this structure that's 43 stories tall in Egypt, the Great Pyramid of Giza. It's the exact center of the landmass of the earth. You can look that up. It's a Google fact. It's phenomenal. It's aligned with true north, not magnetic north, but true north to a 1/6 of a degree, which is phenomenal. How they lined it. The things are associated with the pyramid. It was not built by Egyptians and slaves and carts, and it's impossible. I mean, if you just look at the size of these stones that they were dealing with, impossible to move. So someone built those pyramids. So there was a technology that they had that we no longer have. That's why I talk about a millennium change cycle. That's what we're about to go through right now. We're going to go through this millennium change cycle. The Egyptians had something when they built and by the way, there's pyramids all around the world, that when pyramids were being built all around the world, and this pyramid of Giza is the greatest of them all, and then it disappeared. We have no idea how they did it. No, they didn't leave any records of how they did any of this stuff. So they had a technology that was pretty phenomenal, and yet died with them, I guess. I don't know. So we're about to reach that same kind of thing. We're going to have information flow unbelievable. We're going to be able to do some pretty incredible things. And millennials are going to, and Z generation is going to do some unbelievable, incredible things. And that's why I say it can either go good or bad. We can survive it or not. So it just depends on how they handle this idea of truth and justice is the big thing.
Totally. All right. Well, before we wrap up, let's go and say if you had one key piece of advice for boomers on how to unleash the millennials and help them rule the world, what would it be?
I would tell them exactly why you're doing what you're doing and how you're doing it and ask them to come up with a better way. It's as simple as that. Now, the boomer's going to freak out because they're going to fire me because if they do that, what good am I? Because you have the institutional knowledge that is irreplaceable. So you can help the millennial that doesn't have the institutional knowledge actually do something with your institutional knowledge. They can innovate something that you know that's only in your mind that you can share with them. They can innovate it. Dutch company does very well. So tell them why you're doing what you're doing and how you're doing it.
A happy partnership then between boomers and the millennials.
It's going to be unbelievable. It's going to be great. There's not much time left to do that. So get to it.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Content Cullet today, Philip. Let's talk about a couple of things because you, my friend, have all of the things. You have your book, but you also have coaching and training. You have collaboration. Tell people where they can find you.
For the book, it's unleashthemillennials.com. It's all one word, unleashthemillennials.com. It's also got some information about my business there, which you can link to my business. I do executive coaching and millennial coaching. So if you have someone on staff or you have a group on your staff, my focus has been on next generation leadership or next generation leader initiatives, where I help prepare your millennial talent to rise in leadership within organizations. And that's been going very well. And collaboration, look, I'm always looking to collaborate with people to allow, again, this idea of the millennial generation, preparing the millennial generation to discover new stuff. That's what I want to collaborate with. How can we help them discover new stuff? How can we help them unveil the whole UFO stuff and aliens? I mean, I've been waiting for that since I was 16 years old. So it's about time that they really found out what's going on and one way or the other. So any way I can collaborate with somebody, I'd be happy to do that.
Awesome. And people can find you on LinkedIn as Dr. Philip Zimmerman. So
Philip Zimmerman with one L. Yep.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thank you again so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Oh, it's been a fantastic experience. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great 2021.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Content Callout. We just had Dr. Philip Zimmerman on, and it was a very, very interesting conversation. I don't want to offend any of our listeners. However, I will say it is very interesting from my perspective, a millennial, to hear a boomer being in our corner like that. And one of my biggest takeaways from his discussion with Amanda and I today was talking about finding out the why of doing something. And the more I think about it, that is the way to get to success in almost everything we do. Amanda, what did you think of that discussion?
It was just fascinating. Even as a millennial and being the person who's always asking why, hearing Dr. Philip talk about it, I was just kind of like, oh, that's why I do it. Oh, that's what I'm looking for. Like, here's the reason why I do it, as opposed to like just doing it and not knowing the reason why. It was a completely fascinating conversation on motivations and learning and the way our generation is flowing into a different generation of Gen Z.
Totally. So anyways, guys, thanks again for joining us today. Go ahead and give us a like, share the podcast, and join us next time on the Content Callout. Bye.
Bye.